I mean, Ellis said, attacks of unprovoked violence initiated by single individuals. It's the biggest problem in the world today, violence. And it's a huge problem in this country. In 1969, more Americans were killed or attacked in this country than have been killed or wounded in all the years of the Vietnam War. Specifically, the reporters were writing fast. We had 14,500 murders, 36,500 rapes, and 306,500 cases of aggravated assault. Altogether, a third of a million cases of violence. That doesn't include automobile deaths, and a lot of violence is carried out with cars. We had 56,000 deaths in autos and 3 million injuries.
You always were good with figures, Gerhard said, watching.
It's working, isn't it? Ellis said.
Yeah, but you have a squinty, untrustworthy look.
That's my normal look. Gerhard laughed. On the screen, a reporter was saying,
And you think these figures reflect physical brain disease?
In large part, Ellis said. Yes. One of the clues pointing to physical brain disease at a single individual is a history of repeated violence. There are some famous examples. Charles Whitman, who killed 17 people in Texas, had a malignant brain tumor and told his psychiatrist for weeks before that he was having thoughts about climbing the tower and shooting people. Richard Speck engaged in several episodes of brutal violence before he killed 8 nurses. Lee Harvey Oswald repeatedly attacked people, including his wife on many occasions. Those were famous cases. There are a third of a million cases every year that are not famous. We're trying to correct that violent behavior with surgery. I don't think that's a despicable thing. I think it's a noble goal, and an important goal.
But isn't that mind control?
Ellis said. What do you call compulsory education through high school?
Education,
the reporter said. And that ended the interview. Ellis got up angrily. That makes me look like a fool, he said.
No, it doesn't,
Anders the cop said. Saturday, March 13th, 1971. Termination. Chapter 1. She was being pounded, beaten senseless by brutal, jarring blows. She rolled away and moaned.
Come on, Gerhard said, shaking her. Wake up, Jan.
She opened her eyes. The room was dark. Someone was leaning over her.
Come on, wake up.
She yawned. The movement sent streaks of pain down through her neck.
What is it? Telephone for you, it's Benson.
That jolted her awake faster than she would have thought possible. Gerhard helped her sit up, and she shook her head to clear it. Her neck was a column of pain, and the rest of her body was stiff and aching, but she ignored that.
Where? Telecom.
She went outside into the hallway, blinking in the bright light. The cops were still there, but they were tired now, eyes dulled, jaws slack. She followed Gerhard into Telecom. Richards held out the phone to her, saying,